Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 501, Good Boys.
I mean, at this point, everything's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just pack it.
It's all downhill from here, is that what you're saying?
Until we get to episode 1000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. And then we will bring back Robot Blake.
and Dan.
And Hologram Dan.
Yeah, I mean, Dan should be
Dan's
all right.
Dan's hologram tour.
So I guess before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And then they were three. Like Genesis.
Like Genesis.
That was quick, too.
I know. It doesn't take long to run them out of here. Yeah. They're like, I'm not seeing another movie. We couldn't even get them to see a new one.
Yeah.
They were like, well, if it's something I've already seen,
I guess I'll own a copy of it. I guess I'll watch it.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, share an episode, and that also helps us out tremendously. And do you have $5? Would you like us to have your $5?
We would like to have your $5,
and we would like to have it monthly. So if you want to check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/RealSpoilers, if you're sensing a theme here, you can throw in $5 a month, and it just goes to cover some of the expenses, hosting costs, equipment, things like that. So so at least you know we're going to be around, right? Like, we've got 500 of these behind us, so it's not like we're on episode 3 and we're hitting
you
up for
cash.
Hey,
can you do us $5?
Right. So,
it's a sound investment.
Yeah, well, let's not go crazy. Or you mean literally, it's an investment in sound.
Yeah,
okay, I'll allow it. So anyway, there's all that. I guess let's talk about Good Boys.
It's interesting.
So superheroes have, you know, taken over, but this is a different take on superheroes.
Is it? On superheroes? Oh, you mean the boys?
Are we not?
We're not talking about the boys. No.
Oh, crap.
This is not show spoilers.
Oh.
This is real spoilers.
We weren't supposed to just binge 8 episodes of the boys?
No. I mean, I'm glad that you did.
Yeah.
But
it's a good show.
So it's interesting. Like, this is definitely in the vein of Superbad.
Well, sure. I mean, that's on Front Street.
Yes.
They're trying to evoke that in all the marketing.
But with a lot younger kids.
Right.
A lot younger.
The problem you're going to run into that I have had with this movie is that you can't compare this to Superbad. Like, Superbad is a perfect movie. It's a perfect rated R comedy.
It really is.
It's such
a good movie.
There's no spots where it's like, nah, that's not the greatest thing
in
the world.
I saw that movie in the theaters 6 times.
Yeah.
Six? I thought it was 3.
I saw it 3 times before it came out.
You went to the screenings 3 times.
Because they did buzz screenings 4 weeks in advance, and I kept coming back.
And you were like, I need to keep seeing this.
Bringing people with me, and then went and paid money for it.
I loved that movie. It's a great movie.
It's clever. The performances are good. It's a smart comedy. It also doesn't feel forced. The humor feels very organic. No, I mean, that put those guys on the map as far as Michael Cera took off, Jonah Hill, and obviously Jonah Hill's continued to to evolve and do different things.
Right.
Sarah is, I guess.
I feel like he's working more behind the scenes. I think he's doing what he wants to do. I don't think he wants to be starring.
No,
in
if
movies.
He wanted to, I think he kind of imposed like a retirement type thing. So totally.
Yeah.
I just mean those guys though, at that time though, once Superbad hit,
right.
those two were on the map.
Right.
And they were in tons of stuff. So that movie, I agree, is amazing. Now this one, it's in the vein of, but the kids are so young, and I found this movie very funny.
It's very funny.
It's hard sometimes not to get a little skeezed out, in my opinion, when you have any movie involved. Like, I thought Eighth Grade, like, that was even older, but they're still young. These kids are little.
And I haven't looked it up. Are they, how close are they in age to?
Well, these kids are supposed to be in sixth grade.
Right. And so I'm just curious, like, did we get actors that are maybe eighth or ninth grade and look young? Or
no, I think these kids are.
No, I mean.
They sure seem it.
They do,
They sure seem it.
I mean, you would be around 11. At in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I just type in Jacob Tremblay, let's see how old he is. It should pop right up here. More about he's 12. So he's 12 when he's 11.
So a year ago. Yeah.
So I mean, it's just, and again, the movie's very funny. I don't think they didn't push the boundaries too much, but there were times, especially when they're talking about kissing and sexual jokes and stuff, where you're like, these kids are 11.
Or they're running around with dildos.
Yeah, it just feels a little weird while funny and not in total bad taste.
Definitely remember being that age and like, that is the beginning of when I started to learn what things were.
Yeah, and I think that I think the movie I don't think I liked the movie as much as you guys did,
okay.
but the movie has a really interesting charm in how they portray these kids as kind of knowing things,
right?
But still being really sweet and innocent.
Yeah. No, I love the fact that they think they know things
right.
and they're wrong all the time.
Yes.
That was one of the funniest parts of their. I mean, that's what kids do. They think they know and they act like, oh yeah, that's a blah blah blah, but they're so wrong.
Like, like the sister.
Yeah,
yeah.
And all the other kids are and all the other kids are just like yeah, like going along with it, but they don't know what they're talking about. And so again, I don't think they did anything really in bad taste. It's just some of the stuff's weird. When you see 11-year-olds running around with sex toys, that's just weird. And it should be. Like, you should think that's weird. That's I don't think I'm in the wrong here. Like, it just felt a little odd, although even if the jokes were funny. So that's the only problem I had was sometimes where it was like, this just feels weird, but...
So the issue that I had is that because Superbad is as perfect as it is, Booksmart is as perfect as it is, this one, as good as it is... You're going to compare it to those other two,
it's
not fair.
It's a footnote compared to those
two. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think that is the problem that I ran into it with, is like I was comparing it to Superbad.
I feel
and
like
that
the,
does it a disservice.
The pacing or like the editing was weird in terms of the timing on the jokes. Like, I thought...
It's a short movie.
No, and it needed to be short, and that's good.
That's where
but when I say the editing's weird, it's like editing, like jokes are so much about timing.
Yeah. Sure.
So editing is deceptively crucial
it's so important.
In a comedy,
When you hang too long and don't cut, that makes a huge difference on a joke.
And I felt like there were jokes that in the trailer I thought were hysterical that here did not land in the same way. And when I say that it's not like, well, I've heard that joke and now it's not funny. I mean, objectively, I did not think the joke
in context,
in context was near as funny as it was within the trailer.
Yeah.
And so it was just weird because there were things where I was like, boy, I really liked that in the trailer. And now that I'm watching the movie, it's not landing in the same way. Like, not like I was offended or anything like that, but just, I'm just like, this just, that line just doesn't land the same way, and I can only attribute it to the editing of the film.
It's the problem that this movie runs into as well is that the movie is short. It's like an hour and 30, which is
exactly 90 minutes long.
Yeah, that's where rated R comedies need to live.
Yeah,
comedies should be 90 minutes.
Yeah,
is like.
I think The Hangover might go like 145, and Superbad like the. That Judd Apatow stuff goes a little long.
The Judd stuff, like when you get into like 40-Year-Old Virgin.
40-Year-Old Virgin, I think, is pretty tight. I think Knocked Up.
I guess
and,
it was after 40-Year-Old Virgin that he had.
Funny People is the one where I'm like,
Funny People. And Funny People is like two totally different movies.
Very different movies.
Like, you can just draw a line at like the hour 15 mark and it becomes a totally different movie.
Right, right. And I like Funny People, but it is way too long.
Yeah.
So I feel like because it's only an hour and a half, a lot of the jokes were in the trailer.
Yeah.
And to me, that I agree with you.
You guys are both talking about trailer stuff. It's like, I'm not just so saying it over and over to beat a dead horse, not, but God, I love not watching trailers.
It's not like I go out of my way to watch it. Sure. We see movies every week.
No, totally. Yeah. But I make a point, and I know I have friends that actually put headphones in and look at their phone. I just look at my phone and get distracted. But God, especially for a comedy, I cannot watch a trailer for comedy.
Yeah.
It makes the experience so lame. I don't want to hear the jokes again.
Did you see this at the screening?
No.
Did you see this at screening?
Mm-mm.
What trailers did you have in front of this movie?
I don't even remember.
We had all kid trailers. Like, we had the Will Smith Bird trailer. We had the new Disney Pixar trailer.
Yeah, no, I definitely had... I had Ready or Not. I remember that. Okay. I had some Red Band trailers.
Wait, was this in a screening?
No. This was at Ronnie's. We went...
Why are they putting kids... There were kids at my movie.
There were kids at mine, too.
There were no kids in mine, but it was like... We walk in, sit down, trailer start, and I was like, that's weird.
Whoever, like, that's crazy who programmed that, because I understand that some parents may not do the research. I mean, I don't really understand it, but okay, that happens, and I can accept that, and it's really frustrating when you're at a Friday night, and there's kids running around yelling. Like, it was obnoxious, and it's like, that shouldn't happen. But it's like, for people programming trailers to think like, oh, you're in Good Boys, so you're gonna see the kids movies. Well, like, this is not a kids movie.
I'm wondering if like the movie that was in the theater beforehand was a kids movie and they just didn't switch the trailers. You know what I mean? Like,
know.
I don't
it's
know
digital. It's all tied
digital to, like, I don't think it works, but like I was that like, anymore.
So I left the theater. Like, I got up and I was like, look, these trailers, like, aren't matching.
The right, yeah.
These aren't matching up. Yeah. I just want to make sure that, like, we get the right movie.
Right.
And then as soon as I guess it was that the new Pixar one with Tom Holland and Chris Pratt.
That's weird, man.
And then it, like, Good Boys kicked on. I was like, that is so weird.
I don't remember what trailers we got, you know, when I was ignoring them and everything. But, I mean, there weren't kids movies. Yeah, I mean, they were
every. Yeah. It was
probably Gemini Man, and whatever.
I did not get that. Like, I don't remember all the trailers, but I know I for sure got Ready or Not.
Oh boy,
that was I got that because it was a Red Band,
and it was a Red Band. Yeah,
because I remember, and Katie actually wasn't familiar because I guess she hasn't seen a lot of these like hard R movies in theaters, and so we don't watch a lot of trailers, and so she's like, I can't believe they can say and show this stuff in a trailer, and I'm like, that's what it's actually a rated R trailer,
right,
like,
right, right,
but. Luckily for me, and that's funny, you had kids too, and yours, not really funny, but luckily they left right before the previews ended, and I heard the mom, I went to go get popcorn, and the mom said, yeah, I'm going to take you to Lion King because it's more appropriate. And I'm like, so like they decided to take their kids out of the theater, but they were running around, playing music on the phone, stomping up and down the stairs, and I'm like... Yes, there's kids in this movie, but you, as an adult, like, you should be doing research on movies to find out.
Yeah, it's like when you take your kids to Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I messaged Tom and I said, this is hard R, right? Like, Tom had already seen it. I'm like, this isn't just like a little rated R, like with language and everything. This is right. Hard R.
Yeah, like some movies, like I'll take my stepdaughter to see It. Like, yeah. She likes horror movies. Sure. It'll be fine. Like, you know, she's seen a lot of stuff like that.
It's scary, but you
but
know
I wouldn't
your kid
take
can handle
her to see Midsommar.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm just like, that boggles my mind that people will be like, oh, it's a funny movie and there's kids in it, so it's got to be a kids movie. Like, no. Do the research. It's all out there.
When Seth Rogen
and you don't
like,
even have to do research. I mean, they explain it to you flat out. All the marketing around this is about, like, the stars of the movie can't go.
That's
right.
And on the poster, even, I think they say not for kids. Like, somehow they explain it.
They show the kids, like, must be this tall to see this movie, and the stars of the movie are too short. Like, I mean, that is not something they've concealed.
They make it very easy.
Right.
The information's out there. And so, anyway, I was just happy they left because it's like, I mean, if you think your kids can handle it, I'm not telling you what your kids can see. But if they are running around yelling around the theater,
well, they shouldn't be in a theater anyway.
That's not fair.
If you don't,
for,
like, one of the things that with my kid, like, the youngest isn't ready yet at all. She's
right.
Like two. But when Bella was, she must have been three, I was like, you know, we'll go to Keller.
Right.
Which was like the dollar show here in town that is no longer a dollar show. It's no longer a theater for that matter. But I was like, I figure if we can get away with Keller and see how she does, then we can start making that jump to the big kid theater.
Right.
And she fell asleep. So,
we did the same thing. We saw like Spider-Man.
It was
like
Lego Movie.
4 or 5 weeks after it came out on a Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like,
we'll just test him out.
Yeah. And if he bails, then we'll just get up and leave.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah. So one of the things that I, you know, as a guy who frequents the theater is like, look, I don't mind you sitting on my lap. I don't mind, but like, I don't want to no talking. Right. Like, if you have to go to the bathroom, we'll go to the bathroom. Not a big deal. But like, we stay in our seat.
That's respectful where we stay, because right. you care about other people. And that's the thing. Like, I'm the people that argue that, oh, well, some people can't afford a babysitter.
You so don't they should go be to
able,
movies.
Right. So they should be able to bring their kids and enjoy a movie. And then who cares about the other 200 people in the theater? Yeah. I'm not down with that. Like,
no, yeah,
I will never agree with that. That's not fair.
Especially when the theater to home video life cycle has never yeah. been shorter.
Yep. It's not like your kids can't see a trillion other things that are out. Like, it's if they behave, that's one thing, but I don't think adults should be on their phone or talking or loud. It's not just a kid thing. It's like
I kind of disagree about the phone. Like, there's moments where I was like, oh, you know, like if I get a text message, I'm like, I'm gonna see who that is.
Well,
and then decide if
be
I'm gonna,
respectful about it. Yeah, like
I cover it
yes,
up.
And, I'm not saying that if you have to check a thing, but the point is, you've got people now that I have had people playing like phone games, like strategy games,
right?
Leveling their character up and like toward the bottom theater, so the whole top sees their bright screen. I have had people taking calls. I've had clearly checking Facebook and Messenger all the time, and it's just like you can see it, you know, and be respectful. Sit in the very back, dim your brightness, point it to the side. If you have to check it, you do. I just mean actively being on it.
Yeah, sure.
Because you wonder why people don't go to the movies. One, it's expensive for the most part.
Yep.
The concessions are expensive, tickets, bring in the family. But then you got to deal with that. And it's like, respect other people.
Yep. It's a lost art.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people don't wear suit and ties to the theaters anymore. Like,
yeah.
I'm lucky if I'm wearing like not open toed shoes. Like,
yeah.
It's depending on the weather. Chilly in there. So this one it starts off very similar to Superbad, where it's just like a ragtag kind of three kind of, I don't want to say losers, but like not the cool kids,
right?
Are just kind of making their way through
Beanbag Boys for Life,
which I think is hilarious. Like, you know,
I love the explanation. Why are you called the Beanbag Boys?
Beanbags.
What do you want to say? That was good.
Yeah. And so like the plot of this movie is basically like the cool kid invites the main actor. What's his
played
name?
Played by Jacob Tremblay.
Jacob Tremblay.
From Room.
Yes, to his party, which is a huge deal. And it's, again, it plays the same beats as Superbad.
Yeah.
Where Michael Cera and Jonah Hill are trying to get to the party and the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a solid coming-of-age movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sure, the kids are younger than we've seen before, but the story's all there. I think we can all relate to different aspects of this. I mean, you remember being in either whether it's high school, middle school, there's the popular kids, there's the kids in your own little group, and you want to be accepted, but not neglecting your friends. I mean, it's a pretty generic formula as far as the coming-of-age story. And
for sure.
It's interesting. The unique thing is how young they are, because we don't usually see kids.
Usually get kids in, like, juniors or seniors, you know, well, sophomores or juniors in high school.
Make them at least 17 so you don't feel weird about, you know, what they're doing, right?
And it's not like they're trying to get laid.
Right.
You know, like, the switch is he's just trying to make out with a girl.
He wants to kiss a girl.
The innocence is what is charming about this.
Right.
You know, their naivete, their innocence, they're not understanding the world. And, being afraid, like, instead of in these movies, usually it's, are you a virgin? Have you had sex before?
Right, right, right.
This movie is, have you kissed before?
Yeah,
and they have
which
to lie. They lie about kissing as opposed to being a virgin. So I like that they spun the, even as generic as it is, kind of, but they are applying it to the younger ages.
Yeah, they took all the tropes and like knocked them down a notch.
Right. It's cute. It's funny. It's the kids are all really good with how they handle these subjects. And, you know, I thought all three of them were really good. They were all funny. They were all different. Jacob Tremblay is kind of, I mean, he's just kind of like the average kid. I wouldn't say he's not too quirky.
No.
Whereas one kid.
The other two are very quirky.
Yeah, right. They all have their thing, right? So you have like one friend who clearly is into theater, but it's not cool, so he's trying to play that down, and he's got an earring.
Was
and
that kid supposed to be gay?
I thought they were alluding.
I felt like they were going that way.
They looked like, I
because
thought they were setting
there were
up.
Like two or three different times when they talk about going to the party, and he talks about how there will be boys there.
Yes.
And,
interesting.
And
yes.
I thought that would, I wish that had paid off. Like, although I don't know that I would have liked the fact that, like, oh, the theater kid is gay.
Well, I think
that's why they didn't double down on
it. Yeah, that's a little on the nose, but
yeah.
But I I did like the idea of like, oh yeah, like one of these kids might grow up to be gay. Like, yeah. I guess you wouldn't grow up to be gay. You'd already be gay.
Oh,
but,
buddy, watch
but,
yourself.
I know, right? And but you know what I'm saying.
Like, I totally, yeah. I think that if they played it out and he wasn't a theater kid, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think if they would have introduced it, they're all going to this kissing party and they're all talking about kissing girls and he's downplaying that and that's right. not really what he's interested in, I think it would have been fine. But yeah, if you made the theater kid automatically gay, it would have been a really played out theater trope.
Kid that is way into theater,
right?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean, like, he's not just there to be, you know, just
we've
fun.
Seen
like,
that that's played out. There's obviously people in theater that aren't gay. Like, come on, it's 2019, let's not just overplay that.
Who's the one character from Glee you remember the most though?
Brittany.
Oh, I never watched it.
Interesting.
I
really
loved Brittany on that show.
Really?
Oh my god, she was so funny.
Interesting. I always think of the brother.
You watched Glee?
I watched the first two seasons.
I watched Glee until about season four.
You don't. I'm so confused. You don't like musicals. Why did you watch Glee?
They picked music that I liked.
That is so.
Oh my god!
Would you have ever pegged him to watch Glee?
But no. There, I was. The songs were what they were. But I watched the first.
They got lazy.
They got lazy, but also, like, I started to get invested in the actual story of those
characters.
Yeah, I mean,
characters. There was...
Oh, did Leanne start watching it? I mean, I'm just wondering how you chose...
She may have, and,
Glee.
Like, it was on, like, in the bows. Like, it's one of those things where, like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, man, Finn got her pregnant? Now what happens? All right, well, I guess I'll stick around.
It was your soap.
That's how I got sucked into St. Elsewhere when I was a kid.
It was Joe's stories, weren't Glee.
No, that's wrestling. That's different. But, yeah, I did. I watched...
But Brittany was the best.
She was good.
Yeah.
She was fun.
But so, okay, so you can
She was a backup dancer for Beyonce, and when they
It was Beyonce, not Britney Spears?
What? Yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe she did both, but I know for Beyonce, she's actually, you can see her when Beyonce, I think, was performing on the Grammys.
She's back there?
Yeah. And
was
when
she Britney already, or was it pre-Glee?
It was pre-Glee.
Okay.
And when they did the episode where the football players had to do Single Ladies,
yeah,
she taught them the dance because she was in it. She wasn't in the video, but she was on the tour and
funny.
Did the dance.
It's funny they play that character like she's complete dits, but she,
but
like,
then she
in
would
real
be
life,
like,
she was like the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even within the show, they played her like a ditz, but then she would have these moments of just being a complete genius.
Right.
I thought she was, she was hands down my
I'm
favorite character.
I maybe quit at like season three.
Yeah. Like once, when Finn died is when I kind of stopped, just because not really because of that, but because, once they got out, once they started following her in New York, it just got kind of dumb.
Oh wait, who was the bald kid? Who got the blonde pregnant? What was that guy's name? That wasn't Finn. The guy that went to jail for child porn in
that
real
was,
life.
That was Puck.
Puck's the one that got the bronze.
He killed himself.
After he got busted
after
for child
he got busted
porn.
For child porn. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Him and Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. Weird.
So, anyway, so that kid, the theater kid, is Thor. The
Which
character
I was
Thor,
like, oh, yeah.
Played
sure.
by Brady Noon. He loves theater, but he's also, you can tell, trying to be cool. He got the earring. The popular kid also has an earring.
Right.
So you can tell he's trying to be cool, trying to be kind of tough. And then you have Lucas, who is very tall for
his
age.
He's the MVP of this movie for
and,
me. Yeah.
I mean, and I guess his thing is that he doesn't lie. He's been raised to be a very polite, very nice kid, and he has this self morality thing
where
he will not tell a lie. He doesn't want to do anything illegal or bad, and so he just blurts out to like clear his conscience at any turn.
The scene with the cop was one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where he's like, I just want to go home. And the kid's like, we have drugs. He's like, mother. Oh, God.
He's like, at first, you're lucky. I'm tired. I'm getting up work. And but he's played by Keith Williams. And there's one part of the movie that I thought was really funny, because he is so much taller than the other boys, that he pretends to be in college.
And they're just like,
and
oh, yeah.
Stupid burnout college guys
you're
are like,
in
hey,
my
you're
econ
in my
class.
It's a good joke.
Yeah, that's a good joke. Yeah. But yeah, like, so you've got the three kids, and they're just kind of working their way through life, and you don't really get the home. Oh, you get Will Arnett as Tremblay's dad, who I thought was great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like Will Arnett all
I
that
love
much.
Will Arnett.
I think he's good.
He gets on my nerves, but I think in this role he's great.
Yeah.
I do the scene, the whole opening
scene. I like
Arnett
when he plays it a little more straight. I like it when he's the dry, sarcastic kind of humor. Nebraska, some of the, you know, I like Arnett when he's not so like, you know, what is like, Gilly? I like it when he's not as eccentric, crazy, goofy. You know what I mean? Like, Will Arnett's really good.
Yeah.
And with the right material, I think he's great.
I loved, loved, loved this opening scene where Tremblay's on his bed trying to jerk off. And, like, the dad, like, he raps. And also, I was like, how is that gonna, how,
I couldn't figure out how that was supposed to be a tip off either.
Yeah, because it didn't hold the door shut. No. Now, maybe it's because he's a kid. He basically took like a cord or a controller cord or something, tied it to the knob, tied it to the bedpost. Now, maybe it was like a,
if it had worked, if it had opened out.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it was like a jingle warning type of thing where he could see it moving.
I don't know.
But my guess is that he's a kid and he thought that would tie it shut. Tried to pull the door open. So I think that was part of the humor of him not understanding.
Right.
But also, to be clear, he's watching a video on a computer. He's not like, it's not as skeezy because he's not undressing.
Look, man,
it's not,
I had to watch like Squiggle Lines at his age. Like, that kid's got
well,
that's
it made. Not, I mean, that's not a problem. You also weren't filmed on the big screen.
Also
doing
true.
It. I just mean, not that I know of. This movie, going back to, it's not tasteless in the way it presents things. Like, they play it up as to like, yeah, he's trying to look at porn videos, but you never. They don't make you uncomfortable.
No. I agree.
And, right? Yeah. And so that's why
he never, he never gets anywhere. Like, he can do anything. And I love the fact that he's laying on his, it's very funny, where he's laying on his stomach. Will Arnett walks in and she's like, hey, I'm leaving. Don't touch the drone. He's like, what? Like, he looks at the cord and looks at the kid and he's like, what are you? Oh. And makes it insanely odd. Like,
yeah.
He's like, why don't you come give your old man a hug? He's like, no. No, I'm okay. And then he puts it all together and like he sits next to him at the same time and like pats him on the back, and you could tell the look on his face was just like, oh god, get out. And then of course he's like, all right, this will be
like, you've got a new toy, yeah, you don't like, want to stop playing with it.
I get it. And then of course he yells at them, he's like, you'll never guess, I just caught him masturbating. And the kid's like, oh, shoot me. So I enjoyed that opening
but
scene.
He sets it up for, he's like, I'm going out of town, don't touch my drone.
Right. So he gets invited to the party. And his Tremblay's character is,
and Max is the name of
Max,
the character.
Thank you. Max is very normal looking.
He's just
kid.
A normal kid.
But
he's
the
not,
other two are kind of like the cooler kids are like, no, thank you. Like you two, you're all right, but you two,
they're just
know
more
that.
Quirky. I mean, Max is a very middle of the road, just normal.
Yeah.
He's the kind of kid where in school where it's like, you're not in the popular group, but you could go between
Max,
the nerdy group.
Yeah, the popular group.
Sure. He's just an average kid.
Yeah. And then we should say that there's a whole scene where they try to take three sips of beer.
Yeah.
And which I just thought was hilarious.
The whole setup of like, no one's ever done four. Yeah. It is. I mean, again, I laughed a lot during this movie.
There's a
I
lot
hadn't seen
to laugh
any
at.
Jokes. I thought it was very clever, very funny movie.
But they start calling Thor Sippy Cup. And it's just like, oh God, kids are so, like, it's such a dumb thing.
Yeah.
But I could see it as sixth grade where I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And you're just like, kids suck.
That
age. Middle school is the meanest, worst.
It's not. Which is the sad, like, we have just gone through some stuff with a kid in my daughter's class with another kid. And it's just like, God, you're an awful person.
Oh, yeah.
The other kid, not my kid. I guess. Yeah. My kid.
I would hope that's where you landed on that.
There are days.
Yeah.
But so, the whole thing is they got invited to a kissy party. Max is invited and he says, I don't do anything without my friends.
Right.
So he's the like, cool kid come? Lets them come. And his name was
like Sven or something.
No, Soren. Because I was
Soren,
thinking of Disney.
Soren. Yeah, I know. I can think of that
I kept
too.
Saying Soren's a ride at Disney, but I've never heard that name ever used. It's Soren, but I've never heard of Soren.
I could see kids in this movie having dumb names.
Yeah.
We're both millennials, but with millennial parents, we're just like, no, his name's
you know, it's funny.
Apple
this,
Pilot.
You're right. This is a different day and age. So now that you have
Thor
young kids
and Sworn
that would have been born, you know, only 10 years prior, like, that's the age where you got some weird names and these millennials, you know. But so they're invited to this kissing party, but none of them have ever kissed. And so that's when they
look it up online.
And they get into their antics there. And then the neighbors, there's a girl that has a college boyfriend.
I do like the Stranger Things reference. Like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that would be a reference in this, in this world.
Get out of here, Stranger Things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they take off and they're just like, I do love that Max is like, no, we got to look at my neighbor. Like, she's a nymphomaniac. And he was like, she sets things on fire.
Oh, that was a great.
And he was like, no, she has sex on land and on the sea.
My favorite part, as we talked about earlier, was their misunderstanding. You know, these kids are just dumb kids, and I say dumb in a loving way, but I mean they don't know. Kids don't know stuff,
right?
And they think they
know
words. Yeah, and they think they do. And I love how almost all the time, I don't know if they ever correct one another.
They never
just,
do. They
each
just
one
roll
just
with
goes with what the other.
When
one
When they
says.
Say things to like the teenage girls,
yeah.
The two girls are just like. What?
Right.
But they
it's
never
great.
Correct
yeah. Yeah. And so those jokes I thought came off really great because the kids are, you know, they're nice kids. They each have their thing and they do some jerky things as kids do to each other. And that's to be expected. But overall, they're nice kids and they are good boys or, you know,
they're just finding themselves.
And yeah. And yeah. And so it is endearing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like they try to figure this out. So they decide to go spy on the neighbor. At the same time, the neighbor is in the process of breaking up with her garbage boyfriend, which
I
loved this scene where he's like,
yeah, I did too.
Oh, man.
He's like, you'll never find a nice guy. Like after he was just
he's like, you're not hot enough to, you know, kick me out of here. And
this guy was so gross. The way he acted was just like,
I love the last part. Like when he's walking away.
What was that?
And she's like, I didn't say anything. Oh. I was like, oh.
And then he's like, "You'll know." And then he yelled something else.
Yeah. Like when you're wondering where all the nice guys are,
and then he runs away. I love when he runs away.
Yeah, he's great, and he's written well. Obviously, you hate him, and it's a terrible character.
Right,
it's really great the way it's played. But he had given them drugs earlier, which will come into play.
Molly, yeah. So like the kids use the drone they're not supposed to use. They kind of spy on the neighbor, and then this is all in the trailer. Like the neighbor catches the drone. And they realize he's like, "Well, oh my god, what are we gonna do?" So they walk over. And
this
like,
is kind of what Sandlot, the baseball in the other yard. You know?
Yeah, for
the
sure.
Kids
for
have
sure.
to go over and get it. And I do like how when they go to ring, they decide to go to the door. Hello, ma'am. like they know they've seen each other, but they act like they're like, "Hello, good day, ma'am. How are you today?"
We're working on a school project, looking at turtles, and she was like, "Oh yeah, we
you
got
like
it.
Turtles?
Yeah, come on in, we like turtles." And of course, they bust them, and they say like, you know, the whole respect women and blah blah blah. So they realize they're not getting the drone back. So as they're walking away, Thor reveals that he has stolen the purse. And then of course the phone rings, and they're just like, "You give us the purse, we'll give you the drone."
The negotiations were good,
right?
They're funny.
And where the other, not the the main teenager, but like Soren's sister is like,
spoiler,
drops her voice, and she's like, "What are you doing?" Yeah. And she's like, "What? Seemed like it worked.
Supposed to scare kids."
Yeah, and she was like, "Don't do that." So they.
But I like that Max basically steps up and he's like, "You're going to meet us here at this time," whatever, and hangs up. Like the negotiations get really hostile.
Yes.
Where he's, you know, calling all the shots, and you know,
I'm trying to. When does the scene come where they're all wearing like? Is this later, or is this this scene where they're all wearing like the sex gear? Like the guy comes to the door and the kids
later. That's how they have to get money to buy a new one.
That's what they're trying to sell.
Oh, that's right. That's Stephen. Stephen. What's his name?
Merchant.
Merchant. Yeah. Okay.
Co-creator of The Office.
Yes, I do. When that. So there is a scene we skipped where they're practicing on a CPR doll.
Oh, that was hilarious. Oh,
so good,
but so gross.
It's so funny.
They start practicing their kissing on a CPR doll, which is a real doll.
It's a real doll.
And he kisses it. And he said it's sticky, and then he gets a hair in his mouth.
He's like, "Why does she have hair in her mouth?"
The kid, when he's like, "You have to get her consent."
Yeah, I loved that. When he's like, "All right,
why
CPR
do you want
doll
to kiss me?
I think you're pretty and you're smart. I consent."
Oh, yeah. That kid was great. I kind of agree. I like all of them, but he was
the
MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great character.
He got the most laughs out of me.
Yeah.
When
he
would do, you know, when
and
he confesses
his,
to the
his
cop.
His girly scream.
Oh, my God.
Hysterical.
Every time.
But
his parents.
Yeah,
his parents. Like, I thought his parents were great. It's the guy from Get Out and the gal from
Parks and Rec.
Where I like when they're explaining, like, Taco Tuesdays. He's like, "Nah, man, now you just get... You get two Taco Tuesdays and one's on Wednesday."
Lil Rel Howery is the dad, and Retta.
Retta. And, you know, the kid, it's actually kind of touching in moments where, like, the kid's world is falling apart.
Yeah.
And he doesn't feel comfortable telling his friends. They're doing, like, whatever song they're doing in chorus class, and like Thor's
walking on sunshine.
Yeah, Thor is rocking.
This song
out.
Always makes me cry.
So like it's kind of touching, and they do kind of touch on some things that
real stuff.
Are very true. Like I was in the same boat. There were three of us in grade school that were very tight, and then we
were trying out for musicals.
Well, one of us did, and I'll tell you that.
You were tonguing a real doll.
I don't think real dolls were even a thing back then.
Or is it an inflatable doll?
It would have had to have been,
back in the old and the dark ages.
94, I guess. Yeah, I graduated in 96, so 94. But like, I'm not friends with those guys anymore.
Yeah.
Like those, that friendship, and not that it's gone, but it's like, we're Facebook friends.
Right.
And that's, yeah, the stuff that's where that is. It's like, yeah, you have your friends because you live close to each other, but then you grow apart and do your own thing. I mean, those are real. I mean, yeah. I have a lot of friends like that I don't talk to anymore, but as kids, we lived on the same block. I mean, everyone goes through this. It's like, yeah, you play with the neighborhood kids, but then you go to different activities and you
move
apart.
That's my buddy Joe. My buddy Joe was a guy that I literally spent every day with, you know, like summertime, we would do whatever.
Yeah.
And then we went to high school and it was just kind of like, bloop.
Yeah. And it's not like they're bad people or you don't have any animosity.
There's no falling out.
Yeah. You grow apart.
Yeah.
And we see each other at like, you know, events or, you know, like my sister's wedding or things like that. We run into each other there. And, but I mean, we go right back to who we were at 14, but we don't see each other on a regular basis at all.
But that's what I think elevates this movie to. I found it very funny and I laughed throughout, but it also touches upon the real issues like divorce, about friendships, growing apart. I mean, the movie is not your typical stupid comedy. Yes, there are a lot of goofy laughs in it, but they also do have those serious moments where they balance it out.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I really liked the ending of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, the ending is really good. It's really, and you know, that there's some other topics that pop up as well in that ending that I think are very interesting.
So then the whole drug subplot is basically that I don't want to call them crossing guard. What is that group they're a part of?
Like scab.
Okay, so Lucas is like, loves this scab group that protects people from bullies. It's like DARE, like to keep people off drugs and all that. And so he's like,
I think it was like school council against bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he will not let these drugs go back to the girls. He's basically like, they're like, bring the drone, we'll trade you the drugs. He doesn't want to put the drugs back on the street. So they
look at these junkies.
Oh my god,
they're jonesing so bad.
All hilarious again. So great, that whole, you know, writing between the girls and them, like they're like, these kids are idiots. But so they end up, stupid kids, I was so mad at them causing all this, you know, but they're like, we'll get the drone away with our phone,
and we'll keep
the drugs. And they end up crashing it into a bus that's,
it destroys the drone, like the drone is destroyed. So they have to get a new drone. So they go back to the school, and of course the girls, because they're 18 and 19, are already at the school because they know where they go.
Right.
So they end up, the Lucas ends up screaming bully.
Oh.
And of course the scab kids, who are like the lower rung of the popular, not even popular kids,
below the AV club.
Right. Like they form of like,
what's great is you could tell that like they've never, like there's this protocol in place, but no one wants to be the puss who's like,
scab,
I need protection from bullies.
Right.
And so like they've never gotten to do it, and they're so excited.
They form, there's a formation like a around the three kids, and Lucas is eating it all up because he loves everything about it, and the other two are so embarrassed.
Just like,
I felt just dreadful for them.
Yes.
Even though this is a movie, I'm just like, I could imagine. This is like akin to, but this is even worse, to like Spider-Verse, when Miles' dad is like, I love you on the internet.
Yeah,
right. Parents embarrassing kids at school, whatever. But this took it to a whole nother level of the entire school watching them be protected by a scab.
Right.
Like, it was,
and then of course it goes to like Instagram, and these kids are tweeting it and all kinds of stuff.
Scab posted on their Instagram.
So they get in the school, and then finally, I think they ditch. They're like, we got to get out of here. Like, we got to go get this thing. How can we get money? And they have this super rare Pokemon card.
I think it's Magic. Is it Magic?
Oh, was it Magic?
Maybe it was Magic.
Yeah, a super rare Magic card.
But it's like one of the first things that when they all became friends, they pooled their money and got these packs of cards, and they got a super rare one, so it's special. And Lucas, being the really sentimental guy, he's really attached to it, and so he's the one holdout, where the other two are like, we need the money and we got to go to the kissing party. This is all they're doing, all this to go to a kissing party.
They know that if the dad comes home and the drone is gone, that they have that's it, they're not going to the party. That's bottom line.
So who are you going to sell this ultra rare Magic card to?
Here comes Stephen Merchant.
To his credit, I mean, he plays into the trope where they're like, you better not
like
be
a pedophile.
And he's like, hey, I don't look like a pedophile. And the kids are like, you look exactly like what I would. It was very funny.
But they find, I guess it's Thor's parents, like sex toys. So it's like a gimp mask and some dildos and some cuffs and some whips.
So he opens the door to that.
They're like nunchucks. And,
right.
With anal beads.
What do they call
anal
beads. Yeah, he's like, oh, you smell like
pecan.
So Yeah, so the, like Stephen Merchant comes to the door and Max is wearing the gimp mask. Oh. And like everybody, you know, so they walk in and finally,
like, don't try anything funny. My mom's over there in the kitchen and it's the real doll, but like facing away from
right. So he comes in and of course Luke is kind of boxed and won't sell him the car and says, you know, all three of us have to be on the same page if we're going to do this. It's very reminiscent of that Simpsons episode where they buy the first appearance of Radioactive Man. So the deal kind of falls apart, but Stephen Merchant walks into the kitchen and is like, hey, ma'am, can I get a glass of water? And he touches her, and then all of a sudden she falls over. And he's like, oh, my God. And he flips her over, and he realizes what it is. And then he's like, so
they find
much?
A compromise because yeah. he's like, well, how much for the doll?
Right. And he's like, and they try to lowball him, and he says, he's like, you came here to spend X amount of dollars. That's what this is going to cost you. And he's like, okay, and pays it, and bolts
carries
out.
Her over the threshold.
And I do love
car.
That he goes, I would have paid $1,000. And he's like, I think we got screwed on that deal. So they've got the money.
Now they've got to get to the gallery.
Now they got to get to the mall. And they're just trying, you know, and then they're, so they've still got the drugs at this point, and then they're going to throw them away in the woods. And I do love Lucas's line. He's like, what if a squirrel eats it? And like tries to have sex with a fox. And I was like, yep, that's what sure. Why not? So,
or then he's like, we can't throw it in the creek, it'll get in
the water,
water,
water, yeah. water supply.
Yeah, so great.
Like the four pills yeah, that are in that right. bottle.
Two.
It was it just two?
Two. Yeah, two.
I was
yeah.
giving a credit for more than that, even, yeah. but right. you could tell it wasn't many.
So they get to the mall, and I think this is where they meet up. They get to the mall, and they say,
after playing Real Life Frogger on the highway.
Oh, yeah, right. Which is a great
it's
scene.
It's like 2.3 miles away, and they're like, we can see it on the horizon. And they look over the hill, and there's a major highway.
Right, but it's stopped.
So they get to the middle, and then traffic starts
yeah,
up.
Right.
And,
yeah, right. I think Thor's line here, Greg, he's like, no, it's fine. I'll just live here.
I'll just live here now.
Yeah. It's
although
okay.
I will say they cut out from the trailer, like, I think my favorite line where they're trying to, like, you know, get themselves pumped up to make the bolt, and he's like, are we fifth graders or are we sixth graders?
They say that, I don't know if it's at this part, but that line is in it.
Is it in there? Okay, I didn't remember.
It's definitely in the movie because okay. I didn't see the trailer, but I remember them saying that line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they get across the highway, and of course, they wreak havoc in the process.
Yeah.
They get to the...
Yeah, huge car accident right. trying to avoid the last kid.
Right,
and Thor. And then out the window, they think a person
oh
is crashed. They
so
think
good.
A person has crashed out the window. They're like, oh my God. And they see it and they're like, oh, that's my dad's CPR doll. And Stephen Merchant's in the car just sitting yeah. there. Like,
that was a good callback. I like that
yeah.
callback.
Yeah.
So they get to the mall, they get to the shop, and the gal's like, oh, yeah, we just sold it. We sold the last one. And they're just like, to who? And he was like, these two girls. And of course, we realize the other two girls. Yeah,
they left a note
for you. So they meet him in the garage.
I love all their meetups. They're like, you know, there's trope meetups.
Yeah.
Like, it's dark in the parking garage and they're standing there by the box.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do also like the running gag that Max can't get the bottle cap off.
Yeah.
Until the very end.
Childproof bottle cap.
Yeah, until he's like working out, like, you know, he gets grounded or whatever. And he's all of a sudden he's like, oh, I got it. Like, I'm a man now. So they go into the garage and they're just like, look, we'll give you the drone. Just give us the drugs. And of course, Lucas is like, you can't give them the drugs. Look at them. They're drug addicts. Look at what they're doing. So they go to give them the drugs and then they open it and they're like, these are gummies. Cause they'd gotten rid of the drug.
Yeah.
They give them the drugs to the cop. At that point.
Yeah. That funny convenience store part.
I do like that they shove a dildo
that
locks the door. And,
and the cop is just disgusted by, like, he's just so tired and ready to go home. And he's
right.
like, damn it,
he was like, did you? He was like, he's got, like, Thor has a bottle. It's in the trailer, too, where he's got the bottle of beer down his pants. And he was like, what's that? He's like, my dick. And he was like, just give me the bottle of beer. And he's like, I also have a really big penis.
But at this scene, yeah, I like it how they're like, I told you they would know that they would check.
Right, right. And so they have to, they realize that they're kind of SOL.
Yeah, they're like, we've got the only drone and you need it. So you're going to go and get us more drugs.
Well,
so
no, Max says, the girl says, like, look, Rodney or whatever his name is, isn't going to sell to me.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of screwed. Max is like, I'll get it. We'll get the drugs for you. And the two girls are like, what? And she goes, do you think he'd sell to a kid? And she was like, oh, maybe. So they go to the frat house. They go in and they're just like, hey, is so-and-so here? And they're just like, yeah, all right. So the boyfriend comes down and he was like, who sent you? This is I'm not selling drugs to kids. He's like, oh, but actually, yeah, you're in my econ, like, yeah. to Lucas, like, you're in my econ class, like, man, what's up?
I thought this was interesting. One of the guy is smoking out of a bong and blows smoke in Lucas's face,
but they never, but they never comes back.
You would think they were totally setting up for, oh, now the kids are high. It never comes back.
Yeah,
I think the kind of payoff to that is that when Lucas thinks he's high, because he says something, he's like, you need to do this, and Lucas is like, but I'm high as F.
That's, true. Okay. Like, that's true. He does that. Okay. That's fair.
And
that's
it was
fair.
Like, you're not high from one, gotcha. One secondhand yeah, smoke. Right. You know?
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was just waiting for it to be some kind of comical, like, they go on some kind of weird, trippy, or, you know, or they act like they're all tripped out people are watching them or something. But anyway.
So they get he goes, like, finally he's like, okay, like, I'll sell them to you, if I sell them to you, you gotta tell me who sent you. And they're like, okay. So kid comes back with the drugs, and then they're like, who sent you? And then, of course, the other Thor and Max are just like, just this person, of course. And then Lucas
caves.
Hannah sent us, we have to go do this. And they're just like, god damn it. Like, so then the kid's all pissed, and then we forget that they have packed a paintball gun.
Yeah.
And the only thing I didn't like about this, did you notice what was completely wrong with this whole thing?
No.
With the gun? There's no CO2 cartridge.
Oh, really?
Paintball guns can't just shoot paintballs. There's a huge tank on the back that allows them to propel the paintballs out.
Sure.
That gun wouldn't have operated. So while it was a funny moment, I don't know if it just would have looked too awkward for a little kid. I mean, the tanks are big, usually.
Right, right.
But I'm like, that's a non-operating paintball gun. So I just didn't like that. You could see where it went. Like, the screw thing was there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just like, why did they miss not putting a tank on that gun?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's a good question.
Because I'm sure a lot of people watching it have used a paintball gun before.
Yeah, it's
not like a small
activity.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway.
So this is the throwback. This is the reminiscent of the scene in Superbad where the two guys, where they're in the frat house and trying to score beers because, you know, love that Jonah Hill is pouring out the Tide container and pouring beer into the Tide container. The period blood on your leg, which I thought was also very funny. So they get out of there. They exchange to the drone for the drugs. The girls take off. And then the two guys, Max gets a call from his dad. He's like, hey, I'm on my way home early. Good luck. And so the kid's like, we got to get this thing into the house. So, of course, he figures out a way to...
It was Lucas. He's like, well, the drone has to get home before your dad.
Right.
And
at this point, this whole friendship is starting to deteriorate.
Yeah.
Because Max is making some decisions that will impact Thor and Lucas.
He's so obsessed with kissing a girl. Or kissing
Brexley.
A specific girl.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole subplot, which was very funny about him in class. Like, he's watching this girl that he has a crush on at her locker. And not in a creep way or anything, but he's looking at her. And, like, he has a juice box and squeezes it and it's shooting out the side. Like, there are a lot of really funny scenes of him watching this girl. But they've never actually met or talked.
No, they've not
you
once.
You find out later that they're introduced later. But so he's got this other friend who's a girl who's like, you need to come to the party because, you know, she might have a crush on you. So he's obsessed with it, not only to be cool, but for
the girl.
Yeah.
Right.
I keep wanting to say Brixton because we just saw Fast.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
Presents.
No, Brexley.
But right. But, it's like I've never heard a name like that. And then we had Brixton and Brixley.
Did you hear the theory that the voice on the other end of that in that movie?
Well, it was supposed to be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
They wanted it and he didn't want to do it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Ah.
They wrote it with like him in mind. But
what if it's Han? And Han was the first like super soldier.
Oh my gosh.
That's from How Did This Get Made? They just covered it. I was like, oh my god, that's so good.
I haven't listened to that. Adam Scott's back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Adam Scott and the other gal that does them with him. The gal from I don't know.
I can't remember who does.
There's
the
another
Fast
gal.
And Furious, but anyway,
So the friendship is starting to fall apart. Max uses his phone to get the drone home, and of course he gets like
it's
mud
ridiculous
on it or something.
It's like triumphant, like they're so triumphant and cheering, we're doing it, we're there. They get it, but they go in through the chimney and it gets all ash all over it,
right? So
and then
can't
it goes
see.
In and cuts all their pillows up,
right.
And knocks over their paintings on the wall, and the house is destroyed. So by now
Nicole Breyer.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
But so now, in order to avoid getting in trouble for using the drone, they've returned it and destroyed the entire house.
Right.
I was really hoping that they would have been able to play it off as, oh, we've been robbed.
Which was the line that they set that up earlier.
Yeah.
So I was
waiting for the dad to be like, oh my god, are you okay? We've been robbed. And I was hoping they wouldn't get in trouble, but instantly the dad is like, you're grounded forever.
I love Will Arnett in this scene where he's like, I hate you. Yeah. He's like, I don't hate you, but I don't like you either.
Oh, yes. I thought it was so mean. I didn't like it at all.
It was mean, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something rubbed me the wrong way about it because it's like, I get parents being mad at kids, but the way he did it.
Give it a little time, Kevin.
The way he presented it was just so mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
was very mean.
Crap happens, but the house stuff is replaceable. I know you'd be super mad about it, but you ground him and like, I don't know. It was just straight up mean to me. So I did not like how it came off, but it's a funny line, but it was just too mean for me.
That's fair.
But anyway.
So he realized this is it. I'm not going to the party. But then Thor's mom comes up and he's just like, you know, I heard what happened and I can't believe that Max did all that stuff. Can you believe that? And Thor's like, what? He said he did it all?
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, he took the fall for everything. You know, he took
the... I mean, the mom doesn't know, but
right,
the mom's
but we
just
know
saying
that, like,
he...
That Max took the heat off of Thor and Lucas and said that he did it all. We go back
meanwhile,
to...
Meanwhile, Lucas has been dealing with all the divorce stuff, and it is very funny with him and the parents, where they're like, everything's going to be great, you know?
And I do like where I think the dad goes, and your mom and I are still best friends, and she's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, we're going to... We'll still have Taco Tuesday. We're going to have two Taco Tuesdays, except one of them's going to be on Wednesday.
And one of them might have shrimp. All right, yeah. I know. So, Nathan Tremblay, that's not right. Max is Jacob Tremblay, is... You know, he's locked up in his room, and finally he's, you know, doing like sit-ups and crunches because he can't do anything else, and he ends up popping off a lid, which was like a big moment for him, and then like all of a sudden here comes Lucas like wearing an awful Pennywise mask and scares the bejesus. He's like, look, we got to get you to this party, let's go, like, don't worry about Thor, like, we'll get you there. And then finally he sneaks out, and I was like, sixth grader sneaking out, like, all right, I'm in with this movie.
Scary,
for the most part, but like, yeah.
Ugh.
I did it, but it's whatever,
we'll see. But it's like, I mean, it's just like, oh, because you're thinking like, oh, these kids are young. I mean, this is around my kid's age and just a little bit older than yours, and so it's like, I don't want to be dealing with this stuff.
I need to make sure her room is on like a third or fourth floor.
But Lucas lied to both of the friends, saying that
set
each
it
other
up
won't
bring
be
them,
there
to bring them both there, and then of course they get there and they're not talking to each other. So they end up going downstairs, and I do like that Soren is just like, all right, look, man, like, if you don't want to be down here with the kissing party, the mom drove me insane. Like, it's the typical millennial mom. She's like, I don't know what they're doing down there.
I don't even want to know what they're doing.
And I was just
there.
No.
Yeah.
I want to know what they are doing. Guess what? This party's moving up to the second floor.
Yeah. But I thought Soren was very funny. All his lines.
Yeah.
Because he's like this cool kid.
I like the fact that he was the cool kid and above it all, but he
wasn't
a
mean.
Dick.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
The other kid that wanted to impress Soren was a jerk.
Right.
But Soren was not. He was cool, but all his lines were not.
I mean, he was like kind of douchey and pretentious.
Well,
But he wasn't a jerk.
He wasn't above.
Right.
He didn't look down at all the people. He just was like, he's cool and he knows he's a cool kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, you know, he's like, yeah, if you leave, you can't come back.
Right.
But he's like, you can go play VR.
VR if you want.
It was just so random. He had this alternate plan for the kids that didn't want to kiss.
But I think it's also because, I mean, I think one, it's a screenwriting choice, but also I think kids today it's ingrained in them more about consent.
Yeah.
And so
he
was basically establishing consent.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to play Spin the Bottle now. And if you do not want to be a part of that, that is okay. Go play VR upstairs,
but we're doing this down here.
This is what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Get out.
Right.
You know?
And then, of course.
And I didn't have any problem. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You can go play.
But
he had the plan all in place. But it was smart.
I think it's a screenwriting choice to make sure that, like, no one can look at the scene and be like, those kids didn't want to be there.
Right.
Also, I do think kids are a lot more cognizant of that.
I think you're right.
Good, because you have to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There was. Okay, yeah, so everybody gets there, they're doing their thing, they go downstairs, Sorensen says, you know, this is what we're going to do. I do like that Lucas is like, I'm out, and like goes upstairs immediately and just starts mucking around in the VR. We should say that.
Oh, that's what Soren says. If you leave, you can't come back.
He
and he's
like,
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah.
But Thor spins the bottle, right?
Well, Thor takes four sips of beer.
Oh, that was
because he shows up with another beer that he had stolen.
That's
he was
right.
like, I'm taking four sips.
Oh, that's how they get the bottle.
Yeah. Yes. And so
I think this scene missed an opportunity for a nice payoff to that gag, because what I thought he was going to do and what I think he should have done was instead of having forceps, should have just
shotgunned it,
chugged it.
Yeah.
And then he slams down the beer bottle and they're all like in amazement.
And,
it is, and no. And as they pan away, as like the camera just kind of pans down to the bottle and it's O'Doul's, but none of them are smart enough to know that they're not really drinking alcohol.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And because I thought that's where they were going, because the label,
it was like a green bottle.
It was like it looked like an O'Doul's bottle.
They never showed, and they didn't really
show you the label until the very end. And so, like, I really thought the payoff was going to be
that's a good joke.
How did they miss
all of this? All of this hype,
still non-alcoholic.
Nobody
beer.
Was like, actually drinking beer.
I'm so drunk right now.
Back to the first one, the kid takes one sip and he's like, I can already feel it, which is just hilarious because that goes back to their naivete and their like the kids are so, they don't know how that works.
No. And it's also got the double payoff of like even the cool kids don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right. So yeah, so they spin the bottle. Thor spins the bottle and it lands on Brexley. So he has a choice to make right now.
And
like,
you
does
think
he,
this is where he's going to want to be a jerk to to Max, but he doesn't.
He gets up and he walks away and then they have a touching moment.
And I thought maybe going into the trope, he didn't want to kiss her, and it wasn't just because of Max. Maybe he wasn't interested in that. It seemed like, and I don't know if we just put that there or we've seen it so many times, but something about the way that it all played out was in my mind they were going that direction.
Right. And they don't.
No.
Like, they just kind of leave it as
is. Which
is
great. I think it's better that he just did it out of respect to Max. Right. He didn't feel okay with it. He knew how much Max cares about Brixley.
Right.
And so he respected that, and he just went upstairs.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And he sits down. He sits there with Lucas, and then here come the two girls. And we find out again that the agent...
Oh, the girls have taken the...
And I got to tell you, I thought... That they were going to make out,
or something.
That's where I thought we were going.
Thank you for not doing that.
Well, it's illegal.
They're much older.
So,
but again, we've been set up for that trope where, like, oh, these not cool kids are on the outs.
Are going to score
get their way,
and they're
going to do something cool. But in this day and age, it's like you just can't.
It's not cool.
It's cool if they were all 17.
Right. Yeah, I was just rewatching Weird Science yesterday, and like everything about that movie
a great movie.
Skeeves you. I've never cared for the movie.
Oh, I like the movie.
It was on sale really cheap on Vudu, so I bought it.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
is it Kelly LeBrock?
That's her name. Yeah,
she is Roll Tide.
Yeah.
In that movie, because holy guacamole!
But I even as a kid, the movie kind of skeeved me out.
So there.
I loved it as a kid, and I watched the show too. Like, I was
a
big fan of
that show.
But I just watched the movie the other day, and I can't remember.
How old are they?
I don't know that they ever officially say, but they're high school,
and she's early 20s.
Completely created
out
of
a computer, so it doesn't.
So
I mean,
I guess that's true.
Yeah, right. but I'm assuming she's supposed to be, you know, early to mid 20s.
But the fact that she's computer generated, that's why you get away with whatever. It's they're not kids compared to her.
They were just at a convention together.
Yeah, oh, I saw a picture of the two.
The three of them.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But it's like in that way she's basically a robot or a real doll. I mean, she's not a real human.
Yeah.
So.
But she's sentient.
Right.
So that's
she married
problem. She married a
Steven Seagal.
Is it Is she the one that married the baseball player from that played for the Cardinals for a while?
Oh, I don't know. She definitely was married, or at least involved with Steven Seagal. And
no, I'm thinking of Tawny Kitaen.
Tawny Kitaen was engaged to, or was married to Chris.
She, like, hit him with her shoe, like, beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, back to this.
But these girls are much nicer now,
because
they got their drugs, and they're talking to them, and...
And then they, of course, we find out that Soren's sister is the other Asian girl. And so we go back downstairs, and Max kind of leans over to Brexley. He's like, can I kiss you? And she says, of course. And they kiss, and it's just like this big moment.
He gets this cool moment where he just decides that he's going to kiss her.
Right. And then
they hold hands. It's a nice
it's
little
very
thing.
Cute.
Like now they're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, then you get the montage.
Yeah.
Well, so Thor tries out for Rock of Ages,
right?
Which I love the theater guy.
Rock of Ages production,
the
was
middle
fantastic.
School production of Rock of Ages, was
right.
Funny.
And it's pretty close to what the show is. Like they get a lot of things.
They're like snorting pixie sticks.
But like for the costumes and the bathroom stall and stuff, like they had a full. This is almost
like
a full.
So that bathroom stall, is that kid zipping up his pants when he walks out of the stall?
He just had sex with a reporter is what that scene in the musical
I've never
is.
Seen the music. Okay.
But so he, all right. Yeah, he played, what's the name of the singer that
I,
in Rock of Ages?
I've never seen the play.
Oh, you've never seen,
I saw
oh,
the movie, but I never saw the
play. It's so close to the play. What they put on for the school play is hilarious because they're obviously some middle school budgetary things,
sure.
But it looks a lot like it. And the lead singer, who's like the kind of washed up guy.
Vince Neil.
Tom Cruise plays him in the movie, but he's like, there's a reporter that's interviewing him, and then they go into a bathroom stall, and it's like, I want to know what love is, and they and there's funny scenes where like she's actually upside down, you see her feet sticking out of the stall. It's so this, you know, they go in and do all this crazy
stuff.
And come out. So that's what that
You're
scene
right.
was.
We did get a montage before we got to here. You were right.
We get the I think it's all at the same time because we get the he's singing.
It's like a future montage for
he's
all.
He's singing. I want to know what love is.
You're right.
And we
you're
get
right.
the montage of the school play and then of him and Brexley and
breaking
blissful
up.
And then breaking
so
up.
So funny.
And then the best friend
comforting him.
And
right.
then now they're dating.
Yeah, Brexley and the best friend. The two girls are dating.
And then,
and
the
then
they break up.
Together.
And then the two girls start
right,
dating.
Right,
it's
right,
so
right.
great because they talk about in this movie. Like they're talking about how we're probably gonna get married, and then they have the whole conversation where
you're not gonna go kiss your future wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then it's like now you see how the realistic part of middle school relationships.
Right.
They're together, they break up, and very funny the
very
way
funny.
He's sitting there crying. I mean, you feel bad for him, but also you're like, this is middle school.
You'll be all right.
Yeah,
but we see that Lucas has joined SCAB, and he's loving every second of it. And you've got Thor, who's in the middle of the play, and they have the big blow off where they go to the party afterwards and all three of them are there, and you have a really touching moment where just like, we don't see each other all that often anymore, we should really see each other more.
It's been like a month.
Right
But I like how this movie ends on that, like, yeah, these kids aren't going to be best friends forever,
no.
But that's okay.
Well, I do like that even the two girls say, like, we knew each other, but we weren't friends, and now, you know, we're friends now.
But I also like how it ends with the note, but let's always be there for the big stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which
that
is good.
Yeah, that it's like, you don't have to necessarily be friends, but you can still be friendly.
Right,
like, you can still value that friendship, but you don't necessarily have to spend every waking moment together.
Correct.
Permanent.
I do like one of the scenes that I did think was really funny is where the gal's like, yeah, just because you live close to each other. And then you see them, like, after the fight, you see them walking you think they're walking alone, but they're just on opposite sides of the street.
Yeah.
That was good because at first I saw the second kid walk past the same purple, like, lavender bush or whatever it was that the first one did. And I'm like, did they just film that the same exact spot?
Right.
They're really walking down the same street.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny. Yeah.
And that's kind of how it ends is that, you know, they kind of go their separate ways and everybody's okay.
But that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good movie. The problem it's going to run into is you're going to compare it to Superbad.
Yeah.
You're going to compare it to Booksmart, and those are two perfect movies.
It's not as good as those, but it stands on its own. I thought it was really funny. I laughed throughout the thing.
I did. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to like it.
Do you think it was because you locked into Superbad and stuff like that? And
no,
it was kind
I mean,
of...
I really don't. I think it's that, like, I think the trailer oversold it, and I thought, like, oh my God, this looks so funny.
Yeah.
And then it was funny, but I didn't find myself. I found myself, like, for the most part, like, quietly amused, not literally laughing out loud like I did at Superbad or Booksmart.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, there's episode 501.
501.
For you. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join our group, the League of Show Sharers, or actually become a show sharer by sharing an episode. And of course, our Patreon at Patreon.com/RealSpoiler. So $5 a month gets you bonus content and the pride in knowing you've helped out.
That's right.
So that's it for this one. Coming up next week is Ready or Not.
Ah, man, I can't wait.
Starring
Margot Robbie. Yeah,
like, I honestly thought that's who this was. Until I Googled it.
And it's not her.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember the name of the movie.
Oh.
And so I Googled new Margot Robbie movie.
And like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And it didn't. Yeah. And I was like, but the other new one. And I'm like, oh, that's not her. Okay. Never mind.
I caught a little bit of the trailer before a movie one time, this and it looked like a great. Really fun premise.
Yeah. Somebody compared it to Clue meets The Purge.
Yeah. I'm just afraid that there's too much of it in the trailer that we've seen a lot of the best stuff, but I don't know, but we will find that out next week. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Fogel is not 25.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.